Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balaba Kirivara Dhari Gopi Janna Balaba Kirivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balaba Kirivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Janna Balaba Kirivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Hare Krishna, today we are reading in Canto 11, Chapter 18, Verse 22 of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Uh, anvikshita atmanaha bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya bandha indriya vikshepa moksha esham cha sangyama anvikshetatmano bandham anvikshetatmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya bandha indriya vikshepo moksha esham cha sangyama anvikshetatmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya bandha indriya vikshepo moksha esham cha sangyama. Please chant. Anvikshet atmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya anda indriya vikshepo moksha esham cha samyama. Anvikshetatmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya anda indriya vikshepo moksha esham cha samyama. Anvikshetatmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya bandha indriya vikshepo moksha esham cha samyama. Anvikshetatmano bandham moksham cha jnana nishtaya bandha indriya vikshepo moksha esham sa samyamaha. Anvikshetah. One should see by careful study. Atmanaha. Of the soul. Bandham. The bondage. Moksham. The liberation. Cha. Also. Jnana. In knowledge. Nishtaya, by steadiness. Bandha, bondage. Indriya, of the senses. Vikshepaha, deviation to sense gratification. Mokshaha, liberation. Esham, of these senses. Cha and Sangyamaha. Complete control. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, and complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. Please repeat. By steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, and complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. Purport: by carefully understanding one's eternal nature, one will not again be bound up in the shackles of the material energy. And by constant engagement in the service of the Absolute Truth, one is liberated. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Then the flickering material senses can no longer drag one into the false consciousness of being a material enjoyer. Such steady sense control gives one relief from the harassment of material sense gratification. That's a really short but dense purport. I'm going to, if you don't mind, read the verse and purport again. So the verse is, by steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, and complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. Purport again, by carefully understanding one's eternal nature, one will not again be bound up in the shackles of material energy. And by constant engagement in the service of the Absolute Truth, one is liberated. Then the flickering material senses can no longer drag one into the false consciousness of being a material enjoyer. Such steady sense control gives one relief from the harassment of material sense gratification. And since the next verse has no purport, I'm going to go ahead and read that one too. Tasman niyam yasyad vargam madbhavena charin muni virakta chudra kamibhyo labdvatmani sukham mahat. Therefore, completely controlling the five senses and the mind by Krishna consciousness, a sage, having experienced spiritual bliss within the self, should live detached from insignificant sense gratification. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshunilitam Dena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Nama Nama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Sri Mate Ravindra Swarup Dasiti Namane Gurudev Devyade Ashastra Siddhanta Jide Prabhupad Bhakti Marga Rakshana Namostute. So once again, I feel highly unqualified to speak in front of you Prabhus, because you're also realized and advanced. But just to, you know, go through the motions, I will try to perform this service best of my ability. So this is, of course, in the context of Lord Krishna speaking to his dear most devotee Sri Uddhava, towards the end of his earthly pastimes. And here he's describing the Varnashram Dharma, and specifically we are in the prescriptions and the duties of a sannyasi. So this first point made here is that by steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. So you can't take sannyas, you can't venture on this adventure of becoming completely alone, you know, living at the mercy of the universe and Krishna, wandering, right, traveling and enlightening other people about Krishna consciousness. It's something that you have to have a lot of knowledge and realize knowledge to actually do. So that's the first point that's being made, is that we should understand the activities that bring bondage and the activities that bring liberation. And this statement given by Lord Krishna is that bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification, which is a very interesting statement, use of the word deviated. So a lot of people think, at least, you know, in modern materialistic Western society, a.k.a. America, 2017, they might think that we're deviants, that we're deviating from the path of, you know, progressive life and, you know, advancement of technology and sense gratification, right? But the true deviation has occurred a long way back when we decided not to want to serve Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accept our roles or our positions as servants. And therefore we become engaged in so much sense gratification, personal, for myself, and extended for, you know, my family, my community, my state, my city, my nation, you know, even my world, right? But it's all focused on sense gratification. So the highest good conceived of by a materialist is that if somebody is not getting sense gratification, or their senses are broken, and therefore they can't have sense gratification, first of all, let's make a hospital. The doctors can fix their senses, so then they can enjoy their senses. Then they'll be happy. And by seeing other people enjoy their senses, then the very magnanimous materialist thinks, ah, now I am enjoying my senses. By seeing everyone else enjoy, just in the same way that I like to enjoy, you know, let me share this enjoyment, right? So that's the only conception that exists right now. There may be some remnants of religious people, you know, that are probably really old right now. And there's also a group, maybe some secular humanists, you know, that think you should do good to others, like, just because. Why? No reason. It's just a good thing. You know, but, and then there's also a sense of religiousness of some people that still have an idea that, you know, the God's in the picture somewhere, and we should kind of do these things, you know, as devotion to God or on behalf of God somehow, right? Sense gratification is so universally accepted as a good, you know, as a high value. You know, just look at our president. You know, he's an exemplar of, you know, accumulate as much as you possibly can. And even if you want to, you know, do it on the backs of, you know, all the citizens for your sense gratification, by all means, whatever it takes, right? Charvak Muni philosophy. Complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. So, contrary to the American way, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, freedom, freedom of speech, which pretty much, you know, we had the passing of a prominent pornographer recently,
which nobody laments too much, I'm sure. But, you know, he twisted freedom of speech to mean that everyone should be able to be degraded by pornographic images. And so my right to, you know, freedom of speech extends to freedom of any kind of activity almost. It gets kind of absurd how far that has gone. But actually freedom of speech begins truly when we chant Hare Krishna. And we actually start to control our tongue by chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the most important sense that is the king of the other senses, you know, starts to give us this liberation. So what Krishna teaches is liberation, is not, you know, the cause promoted by like the Symbionese Liberation Army or, you know, this or that Liberation Army. So that, you know, our group that has been downtrodden for so long that we've only been eating, you know, cabbage, now we're going to overthrow, you know, the czar or whatever, and now we're going to eat like them, you know. We're going to drink wine and have money, and we'll get our sense gratification now. That'll be our liberation. So still, the ideals of, you know, some political organizations are usually to take an oppressed class of people that haven't been getting sense gratification for a long time, and let's give them sense gratification now. And that's liberation, right? So but that's not knowledge. So Krishna gives us knowledge, you know, throughout the Vedas, and especially in the Bhagavad Gita, Gita Upanishad, essence of the Vedas. Krishna says, Dehinosmin yata dehe, komaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatrana muyati. You know, the embodied soul is changing bodies. I'm very much aware of this now. I think I'm in my 50 plus year old body. And I can remember, I have a picture of myself as a little boy looking into the lens of my dad's camera, and I was sitting on the table just kind of wondering, wow, you know, I wonder what's going on out there. What's my future going to be like, right? That's what the picture looks like. And I look at myself now, I look in the mirror and got all kinds of hair growing off my face and, you know, wrinkles are developing, hairs are turning gray. So what happened to that child's body? It's definitely me still inhabiting the body, but that body's gone. And Krishna further explains that natvevaham jatu na sam, natvam neme janadipa, nat chaiva na bhavishyama, sarve vayam ataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor anyone else. So, and in the future, you know, never in the future shall we ever cease to be. The soul is eternal, everlasting, primeval. So this knowledge is the first knowledge that we have in order to, you know, get to the platform of liberation. So this first verse is kind of a little ambiguous, like maybe it could be in a personalist, right? Because they actually share the same process and many of the same values as we do. They study the same Vedas, and you know, actually, it's this knowledge is common between the impersonalist and the personalist, and the bhakta. They know that you can't be really liberated, much less become a teacher of liberation, unless you control your senses. Every good impersonalist knows that. Anyone who is offering a process of spiritual realization which does not have a prescription for sense control is an absolute rip-off artist. Complete sham. They're bluffing. As Prabhupada said, cheaters. Hare Krishna. So, you know, someone may say, you know, oh, come practice flow yoga, or we're going to, you know, do yoga with goats or something. And whatever the latest thing is, right? It's true. There's a thing called goat yoga. You know? And we're all just going to be spiritual and feel the love. And we're going to, you know, try to, you know, come to an understanding of our essence and center and be peaceful and all this. You know, I mean, it's really nice words, but unless you follow Krishna's instructions to control your senses, which is there, you know, all throughout the Bhagavatam and the Gita, you can't miss it, then you'll never get this peace. You'll never get this liberation. You know, because the senses are always, you know, they want something. They're always knocking at the door. The senses, you know, always demand something. The eyes want to see the beautiful form of a man or a woman. The ears want to hear nice music. You know, the sense of touch wants something soft and warm. The tongue always wants to taste something. The nose wants to smell nice fragrances. And that just continues. So unless we, you know, if we chase those around, you know, constantly, then how is that constituting peace or liberation? We're just actually a slave of a different kind, a slave to our senses. So Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has given us the formula for actually controlling our senses. In the Nectar of Instruction, the first verse, right? And if you know it, please chant along with me. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasta vegam etan vegan yovisha heta dira sarvam apimam prativim sashishyat. It's very famous verses, you know. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to do what? Make disciples all over the world. Wow. Sounds pretty simple. How many people that have disciples all over the world are doing that? Very few. Mostly 100% cheaters. That's okay, let's give them a break. 99-point-something% cheaters. Because they want to offer a process that people are, it's very appealing to people, you know, and they can get lots of followers. Prabhupada said, you know, when I tell them the four regulative principles, then they run away, you know. But the ones that stay, they actually want to know the truth. They're willing to pay the price of surrender that Krishna asks, right? Of course, there's more to the story. Some things to avoid. Achyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha jana sangascha lolyamcha shadbir bhaktir vinashyati. Overeating or collecting more than required. Overendeavoring for mundane things that are difficult to achieve. Speaking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Prajalpa. Disregarding the scriptural rules and regulations, or being attached to scriptural rules and regulations only for their own sake and not for the purpose of making spiritual advancement. And association with worldly-minded persons. These six items destroy pure devotional service. Shadvir Matir Vinashyati. But then we have utsahan nishchayat dharyat tat tat karma parvartanat sango tyagat sato brite shadbir bhakti prasidyati. Who knows the translation of that one? Louder. Yes. Utsahan nishchayat. Confidence, enthusiasm, confidence, patience, tat tat karma pravartanat, following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Tat tat, this, that, following all the rules, karma pravartanat. Sango tyagat, again, giving up the association of non devotees. Sato vrite, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six, I think I said six. These six activities guarantee the complete success of pure devotional service. Guarantee the complete success of pure devotional service. That's a good one. You know, that's something we can actually take to the bank, as opposed to all this funny money and sense gratification, which is flickering. And then, furthermore, this is all I've memorized, so I'll go to verse 4. Guyam akyati prichati. Dadati pratigrinati. Guyam akyati prichati. Bhungte bhojayate chaiva. Sadvidhi pritilakshanam. Sadvidhi pritilakshanam. So, you know, offering gifts in charity and accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. These are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So, within those four little verses is an entire universe of Krishna consciousness. And of course, you know, if I had all 11 memorized, I would gladly entertain you with all 11. But those first four I'm still working on those. Of course, later on, when Rupa Goswami gets to, he says the essence of all advice is that one should live in Vrindavan and, you know, chant the holy name of the Lord, 24 hours a day. Right, I'll constantly chant and remember about the Lord 24 hours a day, right? But you can't do that, and you can't become this sannyasi that Lord Krishna is talking about until you've done these preliminary measures to properly, you know, fence yourself in, and as Lord Krishna says, controlling all the senses on all sides by the mind. You know, we have to make an actual endeavor to protect ourselves from the causes of bondage, which happen when the senses are deviated to sense gratification. It's, in one sense, it's very easy, and in one sense, it's also very difficult. It sort of depends on the attitude of the person. I know for me, it's been extremely difficult to the point where it seems impossible. And sometimes, by Lord Krishna's mercy, the grace of the devotees, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, it feels easy because it's so pleasurable to be in the association of devotees and chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam and hear this wonderful knowledge, which is liberating and frees us, right? So that's why I think dharya, patience, is very important, because maybe we're not always going to have the same inspiration every day. I can speak for myself. Inspiration sometimes comes and goes, but by following the process and being patient, you know, eventually Krishna is going to give us his mercy, even though he doesn't have to give us his mercy. He is under no obligation to do anything that a tiny little jiva like myself wants him to do. In fact, I have no right to ask anything. But at the same time, this is our birthright. You know, we are sons of Krishna, right? We're sons and daughters of Krishna. Technically, we're all spirit souls, and I guess technically we're all feminine in relationship to the supreme male. But in that sense, we really do have something that we do deserve, which is to serve the Lord in pure devotion. That is our birthright. But all these other things get in the way, and so we get diverted, deviated to sense gratification. There's pleasure in the three modes, right? This is sort of related. Pleasure in the mode of ignorance is delusion from beginning to end. You know, it's kind of like when somebody is sort of thrashing around, you see somebody like sleeping, or you see a dog like sleeping, and they're like kicking, they're you know, their lip might be trembling, and it seems like they're chasing something, and you know, something's happening there, but nobody, you don't know what it is, right? It's just delusion from beginning to end, and then, you know, pleasure in the mode of passion is like nectar in the beginning. It is so awesome in the beginning. And then in the end, it's absolutely miserable. But pleasure in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning. Govinda. And like nectar in the end. So the poison part is because of our conditioning, of course. We're conditioned to the Kali Yuga atmosphere, which encourages us to really live like animals. And that's okay. You should be animals. Be a big animal. Go to the football game and root for your favorite team and, you know, come vote. You know, just follow the animal lifestyle, right, of the big leaders who are setting the examples. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. You know, be proud of your place of birth. You know, fight for your country. Be proud of your country. You know, accept your designations. You know, be proud of your whiteness, your blackness, your, you know, whatever, you know. Be proud of, you know, Poughkeepsie, New York, where you came from. You know, whatever. You know, something to divert us to sense gratification. Anything to divert us. You know, whatever you do, don't go meet those Hare Krishnas, right? Whatever you do, don't go meet those Hare Krishnas, because they'll feed you that food, right, which has some weird thing in it that makes you happy. We think it might be drugs. You know, don't chant that brainwashing mind control mantra, because hey, you might end up controlling your mind and realize that there's happiness on the other side of that. You know, if you want to enjoy material society, friendship, and love, you know, whatever you do, you know, don't go see that beautiful dark-skinned boy that is playing his flute down by the Jamuna River. You know, whatever you do, don't do that. So, fortunately, it's not a dry process for us, right? Moving on to the second translation, because the material, you know, the impersonalists also know that this is true, and those who are serious about realizing, you know, transcendence and getting peace from, you know, the thrashings of the material senses, right? Just the slavery to the senses. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness. The impersonalists know that you have to be rigid in your sense control. And they're correct. But the taste that they get is more of a negative pleasure that comes from, you know, freedom from suffering. Just like if a prisoner is being held underwater momentarily as a punishment, you know, grab the guy by the hair, push his head underneath the water, and then he's gasping. He can't wait to come up and take a breath. He feels like he's about to drown. And then at the very last minute, when he's convulsing, you rip his head out of the water. And even though you just pulled out a huge shock of hair, you know, he's breathing now, and he's like, and that's the pleasure of, you know, of not being pummeled by, you know, your mind and senses. So it's a negative pleasure. It's not a positive pleasure. You've made it from, you know, negative numbers to zero, but you haven't made it to positive, you know, ananda bliss, right? So therefore, the text in text 23, Krishna says, therefore, completely controlling the five senses in the mind by Krishna consciousness, a sage having experienced spiritual bliss within the self should live detached from insignificant material sense gratification. So that's our ticket. That's the only ticket that will work for us, is somehow or other get that bliss. Whatever it takes, get the bliss. Get the ananda. And then sense gratification becomes insignificant. And we can preach just as well as the Mayavadis. And in fact, we can hold our position without falling down because we actually have something positive. Now, as it turns out, it's not just a you know, competition between whose path is better. It's actually a deeper understanding of the absolute truth that we are eternal servants of Krishna. When, you know, the one of the greatest, you know, ministers in the world, you know, went to Lord Chaitanya and said, you know, I'm a great, you know, pundit, and everyone calls me, you know, Panditji. You know, and he has, you know, sort of the equivalent of like having like four or five PhDs. He was the advisor to the zamindar of a country. And he said, but, you know, people call me learned man, but I don't even know who I am. And so he says, I submit before you. Please tell me, who am I? Kayami. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, Jivara Swarupoi, Krishnera Nityadas, that you are a very tiny spiritual spark, the jiva, and you are eternally the servant of Krishna. That's your constitutional nature. Can't change it. We can't do anything to change our constitutional nature. We didn't even create ourselves. We don't, you know, we don't exist apart from the person that created us, who is Krishna, right? So, therefore, how could we change our purpose? This is our purpose. And once the fog of sense gratification, you know, subsides, and we get some of this positive taste of spiritual bliss, then that's a confirmation. It's a positive confirmation that we've finally done the right experiment. We've tried so many experiments, you know, I can't even tell you the number of experiments that I've done in my life to try to achieve bliss and ananda. Some legal, some not legal, you know, some approved by the Shastra, some not approved by the Shastra. But, you know, in my minuscule experience of having been kicked by Maya so many times, there is no pleasure that compares to following this simple process as given by Srila Prabhupada. The sublime process of Krishna consciousness, which brings, you know, peace and happiness beyond what anybody could ever, you know, estimate or measure or even think that they could ever want or deserve. That is here. And so therefore, you know, we have this great treasure. You know, let's, while we realize and appreciate, you know, have gratitude for what we've been given, let's also, you know, not be misers. Like, let's give it to people that don't have it in whatever way that we think, you know, we want to do that. There's so many methods. But, you know, let's be compassionate on others and share this wonderful thing that we've also, you know, been gifted with. So, Hare Krishna. That is the end of my talk. If anybody has any questions or comments, please. Is there a microphone? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. And so, for whoever is doing the class verse tomorrow, the verse will be text 24. I'll leave the marker on it. See what happens.
Thank you so much. I mean, from what I could hear at home and coming over to listen to the rest, thank you. It's very
thank you.
Focused, not diverting to too many other subject matter that really is not related. So, very focused, nice so. Class. The question I've got is Srila Rupa Goswami's advice. The matter of keeping, of revealing one's mind in confidence. And then the other part is?
Inquiring confidentially.
So somehow or other, the word confidential gets lost.
Oops. Yeah, that's not good.
And that so-called loving exchange becomes Gramya Katha. And it circulates throughout the Kala Chanji Shishi, Radha Kala Chanji Dham universe as non-confidential, and which greatly damages relationships. And I was hoping you could speak for a few minutes about that and how we can, for myself, to guard against that kind of association and to avoid that kind of situation.
That is an extremely good question that relates to how we can have a loving community where we actually support each other to grow in Krishna consciousness, and not just have a situation where when we share, our aspirations or our difficulties or our joys or our sorrows or our intimate feelings of our heart with another devotee, that doesn't become posted on all the web pages the next day, or becomes the talk of the town or whatever, right? Prajapa is something that we can avoid easily, right? And if somebody's talking about a devotee in a way which is just like you said, village talk, did you hear that so and so said this about so and so, or so and so did this, but really actually they didn't, they actually did this? Did you hear they said they did this, but they actually did this? Oh my God, right? It just goes on and on. So we definitely have a lower taste there. We can avoid prajapa, right? And then there's some guidelines for speech, the austerity of speech is, is it beneficial? Is it truthful? Is it beneficial? There's very few cases where we actually need to, discuss, if there's anything, negative in the character of a devotee. We should actually completely overlook it. We should actually ignore it, and pay attention to the real essence, which is that this person, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, out of thousands among men, this person has decided to try to achieve perfection. Oh, but let's just cut them down while they're trying, No, that's not what we're about. We are about loving exchanges to support whatever feeble little devotional creeper I have. I'm asking for another devotee's advice or help. Hey, what do I do? I've got this situation. I want to be Krishna conscious, but I have this obstacle. What do you think? You're more experienced, more advanced, or I trust you, So we really hope, we put our faith in the other devotee that we have a relationship with, that they won't just go blab and tell everybody all about our faults that we're embarrassed by. Otherwise, we would advertise them ourselves, So, I can't certainly change what anybody does. But I do know for myself that I value those relationships that I do have where I can confide in certain devotees. And I know that it's not going anywhere. I also, I also establish certain relationships too. And I say, hey, I would like to, talk to you about something, but this is confidential. So maybe sometimes you also might have to explicitly make a verbal contract if you're not trusting by nature. But it's not good, and certainly the whole point of being in the Association of Devotees is proper relationships, and by proper relationships, we give mercy to those who are, newer in devotional service, or know less, or less advanced. And for those that are, more advanced, we inquire from them about how we serve them. And for those that are equals, we make friends. And all these relationships is what really keeps us around for the long term in devotional service. So, sadhu sangha, etc. I've spoken a long time on that, so, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Prabhu? Prabhu's, what's the cheese?
I have a question about, and thank you. Yeah, it was a wonderful class. So in the wake of this, mass murder that took place in Las Vegas, there's this, now it's coming to light that the man was radicalized by Islamic influence. And, my question has to do with a broader perspective on our movement as a radical movement. in our Bhagavad Gita, I mean, it's obvious that Krishna is, you know, speaking to Arjuna as a theist, and but yet, and he's actively instructing him to, you know, enter into a war against the atheists. And your point about, you know, sense gratification versus liberation, it's very much tied to that whole concept.
It is.
You see,
it does divide people.
So, you know, we've even had like political figures, presidential candidates, you know, that'll come up on in their debates and say things like, you know, I was raised religiously, I believe in God, but I don't believe that politics is a platform by which, you know, I can reach out through this television and tell your daughter whether to have an abortion or not. So even though you're saying these things, it does seem that it borderlines on the same type of radical behavior, or at least that seems to be a foundational principle, mm-hmm. even within our teachings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how do you actually, you know, justify what you're embracing here and how you're instructing us? You know, if it's a matter of liberation as to whether or not, you know, I lash out or I vilify or I, conceptualize, you know, another person, is that the purpose, or is that the underlying, you know, foundation for what we represent?
No.
So what's the difference?
We are learning Krishna consciousness to become saints. A saint is Tatik Shiva Karunaka, Suridam Sarvadehinam. Lord Kapiladev said that these are the qualifications of a saint. And in the verse, you know, Prabhupada talks about Lord Jesus Christ, who was tolerant and so tolerant and merciful that even while he was being crucified, he was being crucified for preaching God consciousness, right? We have the teachings that will cause people to become fully satisfied and happy. When everyone is fully satisfied and happy, they don't need to fight for no reason. So we're actually promoting, we're educating people how they can become saints. And the fruit of our movement is not that we radicalize some group of warriors to go take over, you know, some political entity. That's not the fruit. The fruit of our movement is that people develop love of God. And by developing love of God, they have all saintly characteristics. Peacefulness, tolerance, humility. They wouldn't hurt a fly. And they'd be perfectly happy. And so the artificial needs of society, where people think that I have to compete for limited resources, and because there's limited resources, I have to fight for my sense gratification over your sense gratification, because if you get your sense gratification, you just ate my lunch. So better I preempt and kill you so I can make sure that I can, you know, eat my lunch. That's demonic mentality. And we want to kill that. And Lord Chaitanya came to kill the demoniac mentality. But in this age, he doesn't kill the demons. As evidenced by the panel on the wall, he spared Jagai and Madai because Lord Nityananda informed him that in this avatar, you're not killing the demons. So I would say we pose absolutely zero threat to anyone in the world. In fact, it's the opposite. You know, we might kill them with love and niceness if we become successful individually and develop our love for Krishna.
Can you actually die like that?
Yeah. For example, Lord Jesus Christ.
No, I'm just joking.
They say that he died on the cross because, you know.
You know, we speak about happiness as the perfection, the goal. You know, you control the mind, the senses, you become happy. Mm. You know, liberation, I mean, you've emphasized, the verse emphasizes liberation, but it seems most people are not really, you know, concerned about liberation. Liberation seems to be irrelevant to everyday life.
Why? Everybody's trying to get a degree so that they can be liberated from poverty. You know, everybody's working really, really hard, you know. And the people that aren't working hard, they want liberation through the dole. You know, they want the government to give them some free money so they don't have to, so they can be liberated from, you know, work, right? So I think you're wrong. I think everyone is looking for liberation, but they call it something different. They call it freedom to have, you know, my cake and eat it too.
You know? And my question is that if it's happiness that, you know, is the criteria as to whether one should control their senses, you know, and submit, you know, to the orders of a guru. I mean, basically, you're sitting here and you're telling us, you know, we want so much sense gratification. You're sitting there and you're telling us no.
Yeah, but you're already submitting. You see? That's the thing. You have to go back one step in your argument. You are currently submitting to the slavery of your senses and your mind, and you're doing whatever they tell you. So here's a situation where you won't have to listen to them anymore, and you'll actually be free to be yourself and to be full of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
You know, my you know, underlying feeling.
This sure is fun.
My underlying feeling, you know, on this topic of what is happiness, you know, my question is that, you know, what's the difference between the happiness that you experience of, you know, becoming free from the dictations of your senses and mind, and the happiness that you experience by, you know, just going from one form of sense enjoyment or one form of entertainment to the next? You know, in other words, if I become successful at that, I'm also happy. What's the difference?
It's temporary. Srila Prabhupada says, you know, you may say, all right, I understand it is miserable. Dukkhalayam. It's full of misery. But he says, also you cannot stay. It is also ashashvatam. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna has certified this world as a miserable place that is also temporary. So yes, you know, today you may win. You get your gold medal, you know, you got your trophies, you got your big billion-dollar prizes, you're winning. You've got, you know, sense gratification coming out your ears. But that will not last. It is guaranteed that that will not last. Whereas the pleasure of loving Krishna and serving Krishna is unending. So do you want your sense gratification to end? When? Tell me when you'd like it to end. Go ahead, we'll set an appointment. You know?
You know, this idea of, you know, submitting to Krishna as an act of love. You know, the whole idea seems to stem, or it seems to be rooted in, you know, this idea that, well, Krishna says, yeah, you should love me if you want to be happy, but if you don't love me, that's okay. Here, go ahead and suffer. So what kind of love is that?
Well, it's the love of a person who wants you to wake up from a really bad dream. You're being eaten by a tiger in a bad dream. And if somebody comes and, you know, your mom and dad comes and says, hey, wake up. It's time for breakfast. Then that person becomes your new best friend, the one that just woke you up from that bad dream.
So, you know, the idea of submitting to Krishna.
In illusion, you think you're not submitting now. You are submitting to Krishna, but you're submitting to his external energy, and which he allowed you to enjoy because you misused your independence. But you're not understanding who you are, and therefore you're an illusion about what constitutes happiness or not. Right?
You know, the idea of submitting to a guru and controlling your senses, you know, and your mind, It seems to be like almost a type of like military regiment.
Well, then don't,
you know,
don't get up.
Okay, get up. Get up early.
That's fine.
You know, control your mind. Control your senses. Sit here. Chant for 2 hours. I remember like when the Fox 4 News, you know, the reporter came here and she said that the devotees look like ghosts coming here at 4:30 in the morning, floating from their houses. And then she said to sit here and chant was the most boring experience of her life. And as you can see, I mean, almost nobody comes.
One who has the disease of jaundice, for them, everything sweet tastes bitter. But the cure is sugar candy. And so while they're taking the sugar candy, they think that it tastes bitter, but because it's prescribed by the doctor, by the physician, they keep taking it, and then gradually it tastes sweet again. So it's not beneficial for me to allow you to stay in an illusory idea of who you are. It's not nice for me to go ahead and just let you, you know, keep having your bad dream with the tiger in it. It's really nice if I wake you up. So I'm actually benefiting you. Far from, you know, wanting to control you, I want you to be free from the negative controls. You know, try not to get old. Don't die. Okay? So you are submitting. But you can do it willingly or unwillingly.
Okay, thank you very much. I really like those answers. Appreciate it very much. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you for the fun little debate, I guess. Anything else? Any other comments or questions? If not, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nantakoti Vaishnava.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Ki Jai.